Thank you and good morning. Last week on our program, we talked about the importance and the necessity of countercultural thinking. Our culture has taught us that certain things are true and right. To critically think about what our culture says is true is what we mean by countercultural thinking. It is to reconsider the, quote, truths that our culture has taught us and critically consider them. Is this true? Is that right? And we emphasized last week that Jesus calls upon us, yes, enjoins us to practice countercultural thinking. There is the thinking of our culture, but then we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, the thinking of our Lord goes counter to that of our culture. Jesus expects us to listen to Him rather than to our culture when there is a conflict. For the next few weeks, I want to talk about some conflicts between what our Lord teaches us and what our culture is telling us. Today, I want us to talk about the differences between what our culture tells us and what the Lord teaches us concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Our culture's teaching about marriage, divorce, and remarriage can be summed up in the following statements. Quote, we are living together, but marriage is just a piece of paper anyway. Or, we can get married, and if it doesn't work out, we can always get a divorce. Or, if you are unhappy in your marriage, life is too short to remain in an unhappy relationship. Get out and start over. Or, I just don't love him anymore. He no longer makes me happy. Surely the Lord doesn't expect me to stay in a relationship that makes me unhappy. Do any of those statements sound familiar? Have you heard them before? Well, concerning divorce and remarriage, our culture in general holds the view that one may divorce for whatever reasons, and as long as one has obtained a legal divorce, that person may remarry. But the Lord's view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is quite different. Well, first, let us look at the Lord's view of marriage. Jesus taught that marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman, and that God ordained this relationship. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 3, Jesus is asked the question by the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Now, Jesus answers the question by going back to the very beginning when God made man and woman and when He instituted marriage. He said, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Verses 4 through 6. Now here Jesus quotes from two passages from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. He quotes from Genesis 1 verse 27 where it says that God made them male and female. And then he quotes from Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and they shall become one flesh. From these two statements, Jesus draws two conclusions about marriage. Number one, God is the one that joins husband and wife together. And number two, what God joins together, man is not to separate. And so, marriage is a joining together of a man and woman by God. This is what God ordained at the very beginning. Marriage is not an institution that originated with man, and therefore man can tweak it and change it as he desires. No, marriage is a God-ordained institution. God is the one who joins man and wife together, and so He is the one who regulates it. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14 calls marriage a covenant. God says to the man, she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Marriage, then, is a binding agreement between a man and a woman. Proverbs 2 and verse 17 calls marriage a covenant of God. In other words, the covenant into which the husband and wife enters is an agreement to which God is a witness and to which God holds them bound. God ordained marriage, and God joins the two together. Paul says in Romans 7, verses 2 and 3, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." This passage says that the husband and wife are bound for life by law, that is, by God's law. Paul did not say that a woman is bound to her husband for as long as they continue to love each other, or for as long as there are no irreconcilable differences. He did not say that she is bound to her husband for as long as they are happy in the marriage, or for as long as they remain married to each other. But, he says, for as long as he lives. Marriage is for life. Marriage is ordained by God. And when a man and woman marries, God joins them together. They enter into a covenant of God, and by God's law, they are bound for life. But what about divorce? What is the Lord's view of divorce? Well, let's go back to Matthew 19, where Jesus is asked the question by the Pharisees, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Well, remember, Jesus said in his answer, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Therefore, Jesus' definition of divorce is man separating what God has joined together. And he says, "Let no man do that." Divorce is covenant breaking with one's mate and with God. God does not view lightly covenant breakers. Covenant breakers are listed among the sins of the Gentiles in Romans 1 verse 31. And Malachi 2 verse 16 says that God hates divorce. Now, there is one scriptural exception for divorce. In Matthew 19 verse 9, Jesus says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." According to this passage, one has a scriptural right to divorce his or her mate if the mate has become guilty of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is unlawful sexual relations. If one's mate has sexual relations with someone else, then he has the scriptural right to divorce that mate for that reason. Divorce is sinful unless one divorces his mate for the cause of sexual immorality. Well, what about remarriage? Well, the Lord allows two persons to remarry with His approval. One whose mate has died, as we read earlier in Romans 7 verses 2 and 3, and one who divorces his mate for the cause of sexual immorality, as we read here in Matthew 19 verse 9. These passages tell us that anyone else who remarries other than these two commit adultery. And this adultery continues throughout the duration of the second marriage and as long as the first mate is living. Some people teach that adultery is committed only once when the couple first marries, but thereafter the relationship is not adulterous and therefore not sin. But this is not true. You remember in Romans 7, Paul said that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. And if she remarries while he is alive, she is an adulteress. And so she is an adulteress in the second marriage as long as her first husband lives. In Mark 6 and verse 17, we read that Herod had married his brother Philip's wife. John the Baptist said to Herod in verse 18, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." John is saying to Herod that it is wrong for him to continue to have his brother's wife. In other words, Herod needed to get out of this marriage because it was adultery. Now, this, in a nutshell, is the Lord's view concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And this is a hard saying for many in our society. In our culture, happiness for the individual is the premium as to what determines whether one divorces and remarries. Many think that if you're unhappy in your marriage, get out and start over. Their view is life is too short to remain in an unhappy relationship. And some who believe in God and in Jesus will rationalize by saying, well, I know God wants me to be happy. But the problem is that happiness is defined on their terms. You see, happiness is defined as what gives them pleasure, how they feel, and what they want. It is true that God wants us to be happy, but we must define happiness by His terms. God provides us with true happiness, but it is a happiness that comes not from having preferred circumstances, but from having a right relationship with Him. The Lord tells us in His Word who are the truly happy people. You know, the word blessed is used in Scripture, and it means happy, fortunate. Look with me at a few passages of Scripture. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Who is the blessed, fortunate, happy man? Well, it's the man who doesn't listen to the ungodly, but rather he delights in the law of the Lord. Look at Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Also in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. In Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. These passages are telling us that the blessed, happy man is the one who puts his trust in the Lord. Happy is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. Happy is the one whose sins are forgiven and has a relationship with God. Happy is the one who has the hope of living with the Lord in heaven for an eternity. You see, happiness comes from a relationship with God, not from having our circumstances in life just as we would like them to be. A person may not have the scriptural right to remarry and have to remain celibate for the rest of his life, but he can be happy, truly happy, in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our culture teaches us that you may divorce and remarry for whatever reason you choose, and do whatever makes you happy. But Jesus, our Lord, teaches us that if we want to be truly happy, we need to listen to Him and not our culture. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559. Before we close, we would like to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. Again, thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.